ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. Used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. And he built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, let's dive into some more of the basic Stars offseason topics. Really appreciate Gavin indulging me doing a Dallas Stars season awards show. That was a little fun, and just maybe giving some rogue shouts here or there. Since, as you mentioned, Stars really only had one person that got voted in, and that was Jason Robertson, which was rightfully deserved. The NHL first all team, which is cool to see. Before we get into the Robertson contract, we'll do the most, I guess, maybe relevant news. The Stars moved to Plano. Really fascinating stuff. I think I did an episode back in December, and I said this just feels inevitable at this point that this move is going to occur. So I'll just let you share your thoughts on the move, maybe just your opinions first about how you feel about the Stars moving out of downtown. You know, the Mavs did the same thing, and maybe just your, I guess, prospects or what do you hope for the future of Dallas Stars hockey that is going to be at Willow Bend Mall.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what happens with the Madonna statue?
Yes.
Is it put on like a U-Haul, like little trailer and taken down the tollway? I mean, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You're right. This was inevitable. I had Brad Alberts on the show and I asked him point blank, did you want to stay? And he said, we did. Mm-hmm. And that's disappointing in so many ways. Like, yeah. I understand people are mad at the Stars. I think the fingers need to be pointed at the city of Dallas. And the lack of the ability to please a team and come to some form of agreement as far as improvement so they could stay at the AAC, for the mayor to come out a few years ago and say another NFL team should be here, another MLB team should be here. Mm-hmm. And now a few years later, you have no teams minus the Dallas Wings in your city. I think that says a lot. And he pointed the finger saying up north. Well, I'm pointing the finger at him and the Dallas City Council, because mm-hmm. what did they do? They can't even figure out what to do with their own city hall that is run down, needs to be replaced, has leaks, has cracks. It's just a bad situation. And they can't even figure out what to do there. So it is sad. I feel bad for the Stars fans in Tarrant County who took the TRE straight to the American Airlines. Yeah. I feel bad for them. But at the same time, I don't know what else you could do if you're Brad Alberts and the Dallas Stars to compete as the NHL continues to build and new revenue sources need to be found. Not to mention they got in that quabble with the Mavericks that yeah. ended up going to court. That was really tough. And, you know, I think at some point you're just like, we've had enough. Now the Stars are in control of everything. Yeah. Parking, that's the Dallas Stars. Bars surrounding, they pay the Dallas Stars. Restaurants, they pay the Dallas Stars. The Stars are no longer in just the hockey business. They're in the entertainment business. And to me, healthy franchises need to do that nowadays to keep the ticket prices at a certain point because they don't have the TV revenue of other leagues.
Yeah. That's something I wanted to mention. You know, the Stars took a gamble by doing the whole Victory Plus situation. I know they can sell ads and whatnot, but that was still a gamble. And one of the really the first real major sports team to kind of do that in a lot of ways, just kind of go out on a limb and offer a free product. So you'd have to think like on top of that and the little battle they had with the Mavs, and maybe they weren't getting all of the revenue or whatnot. I don't know how all that was happening, but it's not like maybe again, in a business sense, this was just the right move 100% for them. And now they can maybe make back some of maybe what they lost, so to speak, on and with Victory Plus and yada yada yada. But like, and I thought it stinks. I grew up East Richardson, just on the outskirts, right hugging Plano. I went to Plano schools. 95% of the Stars games I've gone to in my life, I've always taken DART. I love taking the train down.
Yeah.
It's cheap. Great value. I don't have to deal with 75. I don't have to deal with any of that mess. Just take the DART, boom, right there. And all the way back, it's easy. So that stinks, I think, for many fans. But when you look at, I think the hockey hotbed in Texas too, so much of it is, is sort of where I'm around. Like that's where the majority of the rinks are, right? I think 90% are north of 635. Like that's where, you get your hockey players. And that's how you grow the game too, as the young hockey players. Also, I think, I don't know if you had asked Brad Alberts this, but I think he's kind of made it. Well, I think even the Plano mayor mentioned, it seems like a heavy majority of the Star season ticket holders are kind of in this area too, in North Dallas. I also think when you move to, you may now be able to grab season ticket holders from McKinney. Maybe even Frisco. Yep. I don't know. Maybe, but that opens up more doors because fans that live out there were thinking, in years past, well, I'm not going to purchase season tickets because it's just such a mess trying to get to downtown Dallas. Now, maybe in 5 years' time, some of those individuals become season ticket holders. So maybe you grow that base a bit more. But as you mentioned, like it sucks for a lot of people involved, but including those fans in Tarrant County, it's like the TRE. Now you're going to have to. You may have to drive, and it's going to be a long day. But hey, like I've gone to a lot of Ranger games in my time here. Like it's no cakewalk coming out from here either. Like it's, a 50 minute to an hour, depending on when you leave, maybe even more than that. And that's just how the DFW Metroplex is. Like you just drive everywhere and it may take a while. I think, it just makes too much sense. It's just, as you like, for Dallas, why would you not do a Texas Live situation? Like, why would you not, as you said, you're in the business of entertainment, why not have hotels, restaurants and all that? And you can make money year round now. But I think that's also good for Dallas because that means, maybe they have a higher payroll. They can go out, they can make some things work. I know there's a cap space at the end of the day, but, a good team in the green, so to speak. If you're in the green, that means good things for your club. And even just over a decade ago, it's not like this. The Stars are struggling, so it's kind of crazy to think they're going to have a new building, which I think is really awesome. I think one of the pros is they're going to have a hockey specific building, like that could be awesome with great seating. Truly, maybe you have no bad seat in the house. Not the AAC was bad, but with a hockey specific arena, that could be pretty. That could be pretty badass, so to speak. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, it will stink not going to downtown. It was always one of the fun things about going to a sports game. It's always better downtown.
Yeah,
when you get to go to the buzzing Metropolitan.
Well, Brad Alberts did do a heat check, and he said that the majority of his season ticket holders are up north.
Yeah. I thought he would.
Absolutely.
I give the Stars the benefit of the doubt. Like, they did the research.
And they wanted to make changes to the AAC. That's what people have to understand. They wanted to stay. And look at the – not just – take away sports for a second. Look at the businesses leaving Dallas. AT&T is moving up to Plano. So it's like I understand Dallas saying the enemy is up north.
Yeah.
My counter to that is, okay, what are you doing to attract sports teams? And the Dallas Wings were promised that they would have an arena in Dallas. That's not on schedule. So they're playing next year at the AAC for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even figure out the Dallas Wings situation after you promised. It's just, yeah. And trust me, this is not Cry Wolf. This is a guy who lives in Dallas, pays yeah. Dallas taxes, mm-hmm. goes to Fair Park to try to support those ventures that are down in the Fair Park area. And I am just so frustrated every single time mm-hmm. I go down there with that amount of land that they are not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
It is so sad. Mm-hmm. That would have been a perfect place for AT&T Stadium. You could absolutely put the Stars there. You could yeah. put the Mavs there. There's plenty of space. It would rejuvenate the area, but it's not being done.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see too. And you know, my dad brought this up actually, and you know what, 5-8 years to now when all this kind of comes to fruition, like with concerts and all that, how does that work? Like, what are they gonna do with the AAC? Like that could yeah. be real interesting. Like, is it just gonna be kind of like maybe they have a concert here and there, but or is that just at one point, is it going to be, you know, taken down, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, probably the real estate alone will be, yeah. and that area is, you know, I mean, businesses struggle as is to stay in that area.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen now when you don't have 17,000 people, you know, going to that area? So it's tough for everybody, but it's the reality and we got to get used to it. And luckily it's not for a few more years. So
yes.
Let's enjoy the hockey while it stays in Dallas Fort Worth.
Yeah, exactly. So soak it in those final few years. All right, let's move into Jason Robertson. We've almost gone an hour here, and we're just now getting to Jason Robertson. Look at us, restricted free agent. Of course, there's been. I mean, you hear so many rumors. It's like every day you're getting updates. Yada yada yada. I we'll just make it basic. Like, where do you kind of. Where do you kind of see this going? What do you feel like is the right number for Robertson, and maybe more specific, the Stars to keep him in Dallas? I think he's priority number one. There's probably a number for me that you don't go past, but I think you'd be pretty generous to keep a guy like him around. If it's $13.5 million, maybe it's just $13.5 million. Because these guys don't grow on trees. What says you?
That's true. It's a good point. I think people panicked when they heard the 14 number.
Yeah.
But Sean Shapiro pointed out that was Mikko Rantanen's starting number as well. Mm-hmm. So that's part of negotiation. You play high and then you come back down. I think at the end of the day, the Stars have never moved away from the fact that they want Jason Robertson. And I think Jason Robertson wants to be here. I think this is a really good place for Jason Robertson. And the fact that he's throwing out the first pitch at a Texas Rangers game, mm-hmm. you know, they're smart, you know, because worst case scenario, he gets a big raise as that restricted free agent at 9.3 qualifying offer and plays for a year on that. Mm-hmm. That won't happen. I think the reality is two big points. You have the NHL draft coming up, and then you have free agency coming up. So no one's going to match or throw out an offer for Dallas Stars. Jim Nill was very smart in the qualifying offer is high enough so that the draft picks coming back to the Stars. I mean, if you were trading for Connor McDavid, that's what that trade would be like. Mm-hmm. I mean, multiple first round picks for years. So that's not going to happen. So Jason Robertson is either going to play for the Stars or hold out next year if they can't get a deal done. But the reality is I think, you know, Sean said probably within the next 30 days, we'll find out. And yeah. My number is 12 to 12.5. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair number. I think your number is very reasonable, Joey. I mm-hmm. think he deserves it. But the question is going to become, is $1 million worth not having a Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah.
And he needs to think of himself, and I get it, but you're going to lose players based on this. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out. Now, you know, you're looking at Miko now tied up at 12. You're looking at, say, Robertson 12.5 or 13.5. And then you have Harley in the 10s. You are losing Sagan's contract. But you're going to have to pay Wyatt Johnston at some point.
Yeah.
And do you have the money to pay Wyatt Johnston? Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting. What is Maverick Bork going to ask for? So I think this, I basically think once this deal is done, which I think it will be done, then all the other chips will fall into place.
Mm. Yeah. And you know, Jim is thinking that way. It's kind of how it's always been here. I think if they get him at 12.5, like that's chef's kiss.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways, even if they had to go to 13, I'd be okay with it. I think 13.5 is probably like my high end. But I just think you have to find a way to get it done. As you mentioned, they've never kind of strayed away from that. I'm sure they've kind of maybe at least looked into the idea of potentially moving off him just to do their due diligence. I'm not saying they're really thinking about moving off of him, but I'm sure they've kind of at least looked into it to see what type of return they could have gotten. I think that was actually reported maybe within the last year or so that there was maybe at least a look into that, and maybe the return didn't really knock their socks off. And for a guy like him, like the return has to knock your socks off if you're going to move off a guy like Robertson. But I think it's getting done too. Jim knows how to do this. I put all my trust in him. I know he hasn't always made the best decisions, but I can give him the benefit of the doubt. And if you could get Robertson, I think also to start, like he can get the most long-term deal here in Dallas, I think with the CBA changing, that's whatnot. Correct.
This is the last
contract
year.
Change. It goes from 8 years to seven, I think. So that's
got to get it done.
Exactly. So you get the 8 years. And I would think too, you want to eat, no matter what you do here, if you're doubt, you probably want to do it before the draft. That's sort of what kind of kicks these things into motion. So all I'll say is it's a great day here on Sunday, June 14th, to re-sign Jason Robertson. It's a great day, Jim, to do it.
It is, but let me throw this question at you, Joey.
Uh-huh.
Let's have a real conversation, because I know on Locked On, this is one of the things I love about your podcast. I think our two podcasts have real conversations. Robertson signs. They run it back. Do they have what it takes?
Evening, buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyers rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Um, Gosh, it's a loaded question.
Now,
I'll say this. They certainly do not have a chance without him. I'll say that.
Fair.
I'll say that. Because I think that's why he is the number one priority for me if you're Dallas, because you're not getting back to the level you need to be without him. But you have to factor, you got to factor the money. That makes things more challenging and to go out and maybe add some pieces here. I do like the Stars core on the blue line. I think they got a good core. They still got to make some upgrades there. Don't get me wrong. We saw it again in the postseason. It was really, really bad once Lundqvist went down. But having him does kind of hamper your ability to go out and maybe sign some more guys that can give you some of that scoring ability.
Yeah.
Like that's what really comes down to, that lack of depth. Like Stars just did not have it come playoff time. But I think signing him, I just think kind of outweighs all of those issues in some ways.
My answer is there's a lot of ifs. If Thomas Harley comes back to form,
still plenty questions. Yeah.
If Tyler Seguin can play a full season, if Roope Hintz can, then all of a sudden you have three, and that's really good.
Yeah.
So that to me is, and if you re-sign Maverick Bourque.
Mm. Yeah. And Maverick, but he's important too. Speaking of him, where do you think that kind of falls into? Because I love him. He's just one of those guys that I think he's going to be a favorite of mine. So certainly deserves a bit of a raise. But he'll be an interesting guy they have to try to fit in too. And I imagine when it comes to Robo, they're going to have kind of him in mind too.
I think you bridge deal him. And I think that's very fair for both sides. You know, we're going to give you 2 or 3 years and I don't know, $2.5 to $3 million, I think is a very nice raise for Maverick Bourque. So, but if he doesn't want that, then I mean, that's the issue.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I always wonder about this team, and this is just me wondering, I have no evidence of it, is are they in love with their own so much? Like, it's kind hard to say goodbye to some of these players.
Kind of a Cowboys situation, if you will.
Exactly. And that's not an indictment because the players have performed really well.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they said goodbye to Mason Marchman.
Yeah.
I like Marchman as a player, but at the same time, I think sometimes you have to say, I don't think Calgary wanted to say goodbye to Matthew Tkachuk. But at the same time, I think Calgary realized we have to do, and Florida realized, Florida gave
they up. Are.
Right. Mackenzie Weegar was a top four, defenseman on Florida. Yeah. And then, you have Huberdeau, who that year he was traded had over 100 points.
Yeah.
So you had to give up two of your core players plus draft picks to get the guy that I think it's pretty clear won you a couple of Stanley Cups with him coming into the room. So I think those are the tough decisions. The problem also for the Stars, and I'm not trying to tree branch the topics here, but one of the fascinating things is the limited movement that they can make with players.
Yeah.
There are so many players that either have modified no trade, no trade, no movement. So you're really limited on the assets, not to mention you don't have draft capital.
Yeah.
So you really can no longer make big splashes unless, you heard it. I'm not advocating this, but Thomas Harley and Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah.
That's what teams are going to ask for in return for their star players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be, as you mentioned, you got to be okay just letting go sometimes. Just look at the recent Stanley Cup champions. A lot of them did that with, big name players. And maybe this kind of works into our conversation. Well, it's different because those players are in their prime. A Matthew Tkachuk, a Jonathan Huberdeau, but kind of gets me into, the whole Jimmy Benn conversation. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like it's time. It's time to to let go as much as they love Jamie Benn, but it has to be like, thank you for all you did here in Dallas. But it's not right for us anymore. We need to go a different direction. And, you know, Tampa Bay did that with Stamkos. San Jose did that with a Joe Pavelski.
Sure did.
I think it's fair to say, like, it worked out for both of those guys too, in a lot of ways. Maybe not Stamkos necessarily, but, you know, both teams, you know, it worked out for both of those sides in many aspects. And I think Dallas needs to see that. But from what it sounds like, Gavin, you can share your opinion on the matter, but from what it sounds like, it's in Jamie Benn's court. The ball's in his court. If he comes back, he's playing for Dallas. And I just think it's time to move on. And he was again, a fine player, had a pretty good season considering he had a collapsed lung early. But boy, is he just kind of a non-factor when it comes to, you know, the postseason now. And that's when you would really need him to be the guy, or at least show up.
There are a lot of players that want to come to Dallas, and partly because of not just the coaching, but the overall management and how Jim Nill creates this atmosphere, and he deserves all the credit. I just think that allow Jamie to make the decision, but you don't have to say, you know, he's welcome back here. You know, it's his decision. He's welcome back here. If he wants to come back, and then the coach says it as well, it's like,
yeah,
I just feel, and I think, you know, I'm going to give a lot of credit to Sean Shapiro, because Sean had some tough conversations on Spits and Suds regarding Jamie Benn. And one of the things he asked me was, will the Stars scratch Jamie Benn? And it's very rare that a captain would be scratched, but it's a very good question, because I think if you look at last year, I mean, you had Artu Huru coming in, and I know they were injured and stuff like that, but isn't Jamie Benn basically a fourth line winger right now?
My initial gut reaction is hell no, they would never.
Exactly. Exactly.
It would never happen. I don't care how much of a liability he becomes. Because he's been such a large part of the culture, if you will, the buzzword, like the culture.
Right.
I just don't know how that, and he's obviously very respected too.
Absolutely.
So if you do that, then it, you know, because, you know, just based off how much rapport he probably has in the locker room, it's so unnecessary to even deal with that. Like, that's what I'd say. It would be so unnecessary to even have that distraction necessarily in the room. And maybe that's probably why good reason probably should just say bye. If you can't objectively do that, then it's probably just not the right fit anymore.
He's been a wonderful ambassador for the sport here in North Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he wants to come back, my question is what role? Mm-hmm. You know, keep the C. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're not going to take away the C from him, but what role? That's my question.
Yeah. I think Sean wrote about that too. Like if he's in the locker room, he's the captain.
Yeah.
Like he's not somebody, it just, you can't strip that away. It feels like. So like,
yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of people, Joey, and I mean, I think this is like, once again, jumping ahead, but if he doesn't come back, like me, I want the C on Mikko Rantanen. That to me is, I understand Wyatt Johnson. I understand Miro, but Miro's not a shouted out kind of guy. Miko's a dog. Yeah. You can get on Mikko Rantanen for getting in the penalty box a lot, which I was frustrated as heck. Mm-hmm. But Mikko Rantanen has won a Stanley Cup and he hates losing. Mm-hmm. Hates it.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want as my captain. I want people like, oh boy, wow, we got to get going kind of thing. I'm not saying that's not happening, but something's missing. I mean, let's be honest. Something is not there to take them over the top. Mm-hmm. It could be a player situation. I don't know. I think it all needs to be investigated. I think it all needs to be vetted, and they have to make tough decisions. If they're going to run it back next year, it is what it is. Do they have the potential to win the Stanley Cup? Of course. But are they better than Minnesota? Are they better than Colorado? That's a debate. And the fact that it's a debate means that they could end up on the short end.
Yeah. And to be fair too, like that was a debate, like even if Hintz and Sagan are healthy, maybe it goes seven, That doesn't mean they beat Minnesota. Like, Minnesota was a very, very good team. And I think it's nice as Stars fans to feel like, well, if we were totally healthy, we would have beat Minnesota. Would have been a question. I don't know about that. It would have been closer. Hopefully, you'd like to think.
For some reason, Matt Zuccarello doesn't come up in that conversation, and that he was absent for that series for a bit of it too.
Yeah, I think Erickson Ek missed a game or two, and he's really important for them. They've won four playoff games, I think, total without him. Like, if he's not in the lineup, like, they just can't win.
Right.
You saw with Zook, their power play was inept without him. Speaking of that series, I know this is probably beat the dead horse on this, both of us on our respective mediums, but I'm curious just maybe kind of your overall thoughts, maybe a couple notes just on that series against Minnesota, since we haven't really had a chance to chat about that. How you've swallowed that one, where things went wrong and whatnot, and maybe just issues for Dallas.
I think I swallowed it a little easier because I was warning listeners. I'm like, guys. Yeah. I'm not sure about this. This Minnesota team is built differently, and I think they picked up some really good players. So Hughes is a difference maker. He was in that series. I think him and Faber are terrific. Faber doesn't get enough credit. Boldy is awesome.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument. Who would you rather have, Kaprizov or Boldy? Kaprizov gets paid the money, but man, Boldy does so much dirty work.
Yeah.
So I think overall, I think the Stars were just beaten by a better team at the time. Mm. And that's sad to say. I guess one thing that I have questioned now in the offseason is, what is the Stars' identity? We did a podcast on this with David Castillo. Like, if I ask you, Joey, like, what is the Stars' identity? You're playing the Dallas Stars, and what is their identity? You know, do we have an answer? Whereas if we look at Carolina, we kind of know what their identity is. They're going to make you make mistakes. They're going to hold you in the zone. They're going to tire you out. They're going to forecheck like heck. You know, I just wonder, like, okay, what's the Stars' identity? And I think that when the Stars can be physical, and we saw that during the regular season at times, they're really, really good. I just don't know why, unlike other teams, that's not sustainable.
You know, if I had to answer the question, I would say Dallas is, you know, their almost identity is not having one. And I mean, in the respect that they do everything they do everything pretty good. Like, they do a little bit of everything pretty good. Yep. And then their power play is awesome. Like their power play was
very good,
incredible. Yes. Like, very, very good. But they, when it comes to just five on, they just kind of do everything just pretty good or like, okay. And sometimes that's worse than just having one thing you're really good at in some ways. Maybe they're almost, you know, they can play off the rush a little bit. They got a forecheck. They can do everything here and there, but there's not really a calling card for them outside of maybe the power play. You know, it's not like, oh, we're just going to be a stout defensive team. They kind of do everything a little bit okay. It's hard to pinpoint like, okay, this is who they are. You know, at points last season, it's like, man, they, as you kind of said, they did increase the physical play. They play with a little bit of edge. That was nice to see. I think, as you know, maybe the injuries piled up and whatnot. Maybe there's lack of energy. I think that played into it too. I think maybe they were running out of gas. That guy just looked tired too, running out of gas towards the end. But yeah, no, you can't just rely on the power play the whole time. And it was good. And yeah, like, I know the 5-on-5 numbers, the analytics, if you will, like, they weren't awful. Like, they didn't look terrible, but they could not bury pucks. They could not find a way. Like, that was, you know, it just felt like, man, they couldn't score. Like, it's just what it came down to. Like, if they found the back of the net a bit more at 5-on-5, maybe it's a different conversation.
Right.
But it's, you know, just when, as you said, when Boldy and Faber and Hughes were out there, it was a massive problem.
Yeah.
Like, the Stars were swimming.
Right.
Just swimming. And they were being swarmed by really, really good talent. And I said the same thing multiple times going into the series because I saw so many comments. Well, this is Minnesota. And I said, this is not the same Minnesota team we faced.
Yeah.
They proved it. They were the better team. They deserved it. And, you know, I think a guy like Boldy, like that's the next progression for Johnston. You know, Boldy's 24. You know, White's 22. From 2 years to now, if you see Johnston playing like Boldy, you're in good shape.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnston's real good around the net. I did disagree. I felt as though Michael Bunting should have been in that series. You know, specifically, maybe Oscar Beck comes out. I just
Bunting was an interesting one for me. Like, you brought him in to be at, like, you know, to chip in offensively and to be a guy like that could play in that kind of middle six. And yeah, that was a fascinating decision. And then he comes in one game and you're like, yeah, he's, you know, playing pretty good. And I
know,
you know, and I'm not saying like, I'm also not saying that he just was, you know, killing in the regular season where it was like, oh, this, like, you can't not keep him out of the lineup. But, you know, a few games into the series, okay, like, let's give the guy a chance. And
yeah,
you know, because what they opted for Adam Ernie over him in game one and, you know, Oscar Beck, Blackwell and whatnot. And like, those guys are great, but Bunting could have been a solution for
absolutely. He's chippy, draws penalties. Yeah. That's the thing. He draws penalties. And what did the Stars need? They needed penalties because that's where they could score.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was a major contributor in their final loss, but to me, it was disappointed. I've always liked Michael Bunting's game and, you know, I didn't see that chippiness out of a lot of players. I mean, Liam Bischel, it's fascinating. Like, you know, you think the hitting moves up. I did not see the physical Liam Bischel in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting as well. So there were a lot of interesting aspects about the series.
Yeah, no, Minnesota was just, man, they were good.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they didn't even, they didn't even make it that far against Colorado either, which is crazy to think. Like, they were a good team.
Hockey is so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Colorado, like a buzzsaw goes through Minnesota, and then you're like, all right, Colorado in the finals, not so fast. Vegas sweeps them. What? And then Vegas takes the first two, and now Carolina's on a heater. It's pretty crazy.
Well, you have the final is tonight, right? I think game six is tonight or game
five. It sure is. Absolutely.
So, yeah, this could be the clincher with Carolina, man. Well, I said it going in, you know, this is the year for Carolina to do it. Like a lot of the big boys were not in the East. Some of their you know, problems in the past were not there. They're playing Rod Brindamore style, man.
I would love
for them to get it. I would love for them to get it. You know, Vegas is Vegas. I think it's funny. Last summer I was put on the spot and asked who was going to be, I think I said Vegas and Carolina. I got to find it, Gavin. I got to find it. Just kind of off a whim. But that's who I said, which is funny. You know, Carolina, not that rogue of a shot, shout, you know, Vegas, I mean, what, they were number one team in the Pacific or they were somewhere in there, but it's, you know, the Pacific was bad. So, you know, I don't think a lot of teams gave or a lot of people gave Vegas a ton of credit.
Yeah.
But boy, they, you know, they look pretty good too. So it's just something. And you know, Vegas, they will do whatever it takes to get back every year. Okay with saying goodbye.
Yeah, no, they will. And I just want Stars fans to understand if Logan Stankoven raises the cup, it's okay.
Yes.
Be happy for him, but don't say this was a bad trade because you're getting a healthy Mikko Rantanen next year. Yeah. You're getting basically a guy that puts up 100 points a year. Mm-hmm. That is pretty impressive.
Yeah, there's no reason to tear down the Moose just to celebrate. To celebrate Logan. They're both great players, but I don't know how to help you if you think Mikko Rantanen's the problem. So that's all I'll say.
You can't get one of the best players in the NHL and give up nothing. You just can't.
Yes. You know, it was either you hold on to Bork too. Like, you know, that was, you know, you could have
done that. Sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways this could have gone. So, okay. Well, Gav, thank you so much. This is great. This was a lot of fun. We went over an hour today. So
we did.
It's a good little weekend Stars talk for all you Stars fans out there. Thank you, Gavin, for this collaboration. Always fun. Be sure to check out Gavin Spittle, Spits and Suds, always bringing on wonderful guests to the podcast. You can share any other Any other things or notes on how people need to listen to your podcast? Please do it at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Just Google search Spits and Suds wherever your favorite podcasts are found. And congratulations, Joey, on all your success. And one thing I love about, you know, we this collab is we, you know, share information and talk, and that's what we should do, because it's in the end, the listeners and Stars fans benefit. So
yes,
that to me is what it's all about. I get great feedback when we do these collabs. So it's a pleasure to be with you today, man. And yeah, it's awesome. And the fact that Stars fans are dialed into podcasts in the off season,
yes,
hockey has so arrived in DFW. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Sometimes I need to take a step back and realize where this team has gone and where, you know, just hockey in general, as far as chatting about on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, you know, we talk about the Stanley Cup every time a game's played, and that's a wonderful thing now because people want to hear about it.
Absolutely.
So it's,
there's an appetite there. Yeah.
There's definitely an appetite.
Plano. Plano's the new hockey town, Gavin. 5 years. Get it started. Hockey town Plano, baby.
So. Well, absolutely. And then you look at, like, for instance, in the upcoming draft, just to let people know, J.P. Herbert, who played at Kamloops, he's a kid from Allen who was in the Stars youth system. So he's now in juniors. He's going to be a first-round pick. That's Allen, Texas, becoming a first-round pick in the NHL. Good kid. Really excited for his future. So, I mean, North Texas hockey is so bright right now.
Yeah, hockey hotbed, baby. It's great to see. It really is. We're truly becoming a destination in some ways. Like truthfully, like, there's kids that will come to Dallas, like, from other places for, you know, youth programs and whatnot, and to get that exposure. All right, Gavin, thank you so much. Stars fans, thank you so much. Please like, comment, subscribe, slap all those buttons for me and Spits and Suds. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the World Cup. We'll be back tomorrow with more stuff. I'm sure Gavin's got a lot of good things cooking as well. So we'll see you on our next respective episodes. Have a great day, Stars fans. See ya.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.